That's me on the podcast, sharing a song with something to say about it. With Thin Lear and Niagara Moon, losing my opinion.
Hey Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah, I know we got a comedy person on the show today, so I thought I'd workshop a joke with you.
Okay.
This has gotten a very tepid response so far.
This is your joke that you're back.
Yeah. Written. Oh, yeah.
Is it music related or this is just...
Not at all.
Okay, good. Great way to start this episode.
What is the most condescending letter of the alphabet? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
That's all right.
Okay.
That's not a bad joke. It's not a good joke.
That's good. That's cute.
It's not good.
It's cute.
It's not bad. Yeah, that's what you want to hear. When you tell a joke, you want to hear someone say, that's cute. That's the perfect response. You might notice a third voice today with us. We have a very special guest. He's a friend of mine. He's also a playwright, a screenwriter. He's a musician. He's a teacher. He's a thinker. He's a gentleman. This guy wrote Bride Wars. He wrote Saving Silverman, which was like pretty important part of my formative teenage years.
It was right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah. We talk about those movies, like, you know, Saving Silverman, Freddy Got Fingered. Like the movies of that era are just like firmly at the front of our brains always. It's Greg DePaul, everybody. And thank you for joining us, for being here.
Hey, Greg.
How you doing? Wait a minute. I feel like my son is playing piano really loudly. Hold on for one second. Like I told him this was going to happen. It's really important. I have these really important guys on the run, and you cannot be playing.
That is how I hope everyone refers to us, that we have talking to these
really important guys.
This is what I tell my wife. I'm going to go do some really important things in the basement now for an hour and a half.
And what are we doing down in the basement? We're making a show called Losing My Opinion, of course. I'm getting it out of the way early here.
Yes.
The one and only music critique, opinion podcast.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
I am, of course, cute indie Baroque artist Tom Niagara Moon, a.k.a. Thomas Irwin.
Ooh, flipped it around almost. I am adorable indie artist Thin Lear, a.k.a. Matt Longo. Speaking of not adorable, have you gotten any feedback on your end on our Roger Waters solo discography episode? I had some people disagree with me, say, oh, you don't, you weren't listening properly.
It hasn't come out yet as of this record, so I'm not sure what you're talking about.
I played it for some friends.
Oh, you're playing it in private little parties ahead of time.
I played it, private circles.
Gotcha. Well, so yeah, the answer is no. And what do we do on the show? Surprise each other, right? Every week, nobody else knows what to expect. We're coming in blind. Mm-hmm. We have songs we want to share with everybody else, arguments we may want to make. And it's a grand old time. I didn't hear the ghost noise this week, but that's okay.
Ghost noise?
What do you call it?
Oh, yeah. You know, I forgot. I'm sorry. I took my eye off the ball. I apologize. It'll be the last time that happens.
Hopefully. Important business indeed today. I'm glad to sit down with the two of you and get down to brass tacks.
Yeah, what do you have for us? Do you have a funny one? We have a funny person with us.
We do.
So is yours funny or is it depressing?
It's neither. It's going to be educational this week.
Ugh.
If we are to crack into it here.
All right.
Greg, have you ever heard of City Pop?
Nope.
Are you kidding me?
It's all new for me.
All right.
God damn it.
So very long ago on this podcast, I forget what episode it is, Thin Lear expressed interest very faintly, very half-heartedly in wanting to learn more about City Pop. The genre of city pop.
Yeah, I guess I did say that.
You did. It's on record.
Maybe I was trying to be nice to you, but now it's coming back to haunt me. Speaking of ghost noises.
Somebody out there, at least, might be familiar with that term. It was trending on YouTube for a while. I would say it still is. Benny Sings has an album called City Pop. It's this buzzword that's just gotten a lot of momentum behind it in the last 10 years, I would say. What is it?
Is it wrong to say that it's sleek?
Oh, it's, well, is that it definitely...
Sleek, posh, 80s, infused, indebted.
So you already have a sense here.
Okay.
Yeah, you're most of the way there. Well, yes, so what is city pop? It is Japanese music. It's Japanese pop music. It is generally from the 70s and 80s. Our friend Chris Ingles is quoted on the Wikipedia page for City Pop.
He is?
Yes.
That's great.
Categorizing it as a type of soft rock / AOR / funk.
Way to go, Chris.
I would say that's straight on. And if that sounds kind of vague and nebulous, that's because it is. It's musicologically, City Pop is a useless term. And that's a little bit of what we'll get into today. But it's like, you say it, I do know what you mean. It is sleek. It's probably going to be 80s.
Okay.
All right. There's a whole lot of angles we could come at this from, but I would describe it, pure City Pop is like the world's coolest elevator music.
Greg, how familiar are you with Japanese music in general?
Is that on your radar?
No.
All right.
Okay.
Guessing I'm going to love City Pop.
All right.
Excellent. I wouldn't say it's blowing up on social media because it did already.
Right.
But like you see it on TikTok and Instagram, it's like, you know, an aesthetic.
Yes.
Yeah.
It has mostly become an aesthetic more so than like a helpful way to describe what's going on musically with something. It's, yeah, it's right. A vibe at this point, which is, that works. But
so are we listening to today songs that are representational of,
yes,
you know, represent City Pop well in your mind or...
Yes.
Your favorites?
Like, no, not my favorites. No, I don't love City Pop. Like, that's not how I, my shit is Kaio Kyoku. I don't think we have time to delve into the distinctions of that, but
okay.
There's overlap with the stuff I love in City Pop because City Pop doesn't really mean anything. I'll start playing the hits in a minute, but I realize if you really distill it down, all City Pop means is it's pop music produced by boomers in nice Tokyo studios that take advantage of ample recording budgets. But what kind of music is it? Genre, style, anything, that doesn't matter. Just it's a time and a place.
Okay.
That said, we do have the king of city pop, Yamashita Tatsuro.
Yeah. Okay. So that, I wasn't not enjoying that when you played that for me the other time. And even you yourself were like, I don't love
he's
this.
He's the king of city pop. So... just to give you some idea what to expect.
Okay. Very sleek.
Very sleek. To fault. Like,
Greg, this fella made an album all by his lonesome.
Like, he played everything on a synthesizer, or he plays a lot of instruments, or it's like...
Four albums. Greg, four albums, he sings doo-wop, like all the different parts.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine Billy Joel's The Longest Time, but across four albums.
I didn't even imagine Billy Joel, or The Longest. I hate that song.
All right.
Is that the one where he did the video where Hendrix is in the video and there's like a fake Beatles that are in a courtroom and they're judging him? No. That's
I don't know, but that's
that, we didn't start the
awesome.
Fire, maybe?
No, I think it's Uptown Girl. We didn't start the song listing historical events that are recent. It was another band, actually.
Oh boy.
I won't say their name.
Mm. Here's the thing. There's some music you could point to and call City Pop that I love because we're talking about a time and a place, really. Beyond anything else. It did happen to be a time where, like, Michael McDonald and Christopher Cross were making their way into these people's, that stuff was in their bones.
Failing. Take me away.
Yeah. We got Yamashita Tatsuro, the king of city pop. He just so commercially successful, just a titan and pioneer of that sound at that time, for good or for worse. There's a queen of city pop. I would say she's the mayor. Mm. Maria Takeuchi, who is married to Yamashita Tatsuro.
Okay.
So this husband and wife.
Your pronunciation of all these words. I think you just make it
don't,
up.
I don't question it.
You know
it
we
at
don't
all.
Know any better.
I'll put it in the show notes.
I've been listening to this guy as if he's an authority for the past year.
I will put these names in the show notes if anybody actually wants to follow up on this. Yes, you're going to hear a bunch of Japanese names. It's hard to learn new things, yada, yada. But you got a husband and wife team, and they both just conquered the pop charts in Japan in the early 80s. She sings on his stuff. He's certainly a presence on her music, like doing the arranging, singing backing vocals. But she's got a song that I would say is like the city pop song. Like it's the song that blew up on YouTube, revitalized the genre in the late 2010s. Like it's the first song I'm always going to think of when I think of city pop. And the song is called Plastic Love. So I do want to start there.
It's a great title. Great title for a city pop song.
So we're going to plow right into Plastic Love. You're going to start to get... this song is a banger. I can't deny it. I think you guys will dig it too. We're going to start to get a whiff of the 80s Tokyo zeitgeist here with Plastic Love.
Okay.
I'm excited for a banger.
This is going to be a banger.
Yeah. Well, Thomas's definition of a banger, I think you're gonna wrangle that pretty soon. You're gonna get a handle on what he means.
Well, he's wearing a blazer, so I see him as a professor and a musical tie.
From 1985. Greg's in the groove.
Great bass line.
Little English in there. It's like, I think you could put this on at a wedding party and you wouldn't get a ton of confusion.
Yeah, you could do that. I think this is right in the wheelhouse of what I was thinking this would be.
Yeah, it's the perfect prototypical city pop song.
Yeah.
Now, it's like, do I love that? Is that my favorite music? I kind of feel like Patrick Bateman when I put on her album. You know, it's there's such a detachment. You know, I listen to it the way he listens to Huey Lewis in the News.
Yeah, I don't. It doesn't get me in my heart.
No, it's plastic.
Yeah. Well, I think admittedly it is.
But you don't know what she's saying, right? Or do you?
I bits and bobs. It's just a love song. These are all like, it's either I love you and I miss you, or we broke up and I'm bitter about it. This is a breakup song, essentially.
I think I heard this subject come up because I listen to a lot of you. I did my research. Matt, you're more thin. You're more lyrics driven. And Niagara, are you more music-driven in how you like it? Am I right?
Excellent research. Okay.
So then, of course, a foreign song, when you don't know the word, you could still get you know, you can still get jiggy with that, because that totally...
Yeah. You got it.
Yeah.
So did you guys like that? So Matt kind of had the same reaction to it I generally have.
Yeah. The musicianship is fine. It's like late period Steely Dan or something, where it's like, you know, I know we make fun of them all the time, but like I don't hate it. It's just like, you know, it's there. The musicianship is high.
They're all getting full marks at Berkeley. Yeah, there's no confusion.
Exactly. There. I don't necessarily feel anything from it other than just like, I feel like I should be at a party or something. Feeling awkward.
Or like an elevator at Nakatomi Plaza.
Yeah, waiting for Bruce Willis to say. I was a little distracted. So is that your YouTube channel like that you're on?
I'm logged into my YouTube account, but I'm just like pulling stuff up. Yeah, I'm not hosting it.
Right. Well, like, why were you looking at a thing about sex addicts? I got with Terry Crews.
I watch Neil Brennan's podcast blocks, and they talk about.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, Terry Crews talking about his problems. Yeah, I'm a Neil Brennan fan. The algorithm took over from there.
I'm also a sex addict. This will assuredly be cut.
I enjoyed it.
Assuredly, Thomas is writing it down in magic marker on the side of the screen right now where it's cutting this. I never, you know the thing about me that you can trust. I never look at the sidebar of the videos.
I appreciate
that,
man, because there is some weird shit in there sometimes. I know.
You know why? Because I just don't. I don't care. That's the main reason.
I'm glad Greg's taken such a sudden interest in my internet.
Greg
going
cares. Yeah,
I see what I see. You know, and since I couldn't follow the lyrics.
Sure, you got to look at something.
That is an eye-catching title.
Like Terry Crews, the sex act. But this song is not about that.
Correct.
Apparently.
No. But no, it's nothing gets that deep with the city pop. It's all very surface level stuff here. At least as far as this glossy Maria Takeuchi Yamashita Tatsuro business is concerned. Okay. I keep saying one person I'm saying their first name first, the other person I'm saying their last name first. It's all right. We don't need to get into that. I want to move right along. I do have like four of these total I wanted to share. We got to do a Tats number here. He is the king of city pop.
Yeah. I figured that would happen. Is it one of the acapella ones?
No, or? that's because that's his own side thing. We want to go full just chart monster, king of the world, hit making Yamashita here. This okay. is another pillar of city pop. This is the first. So he has an album called Ride on Time, not Right on Time. Get it?
Yeah, yeah, I got
you
it.
You got it?
Yeah, yes.
I got it. Is that cute? Anyway.
It's all right.
Does the play on words translate, though? Was it originally Japanese?
No, so in it's if you were to buy the album in Japan, there's the English words Ride on Time.
Oh, okay.
And they may get the joke, they may not, but he likes a little wordplay there. He's got a song called Itsuka from that album, 1980. This whole album like blew him up and was super popular. Itsuka means someday, which you'll piece that together when you hear the song. Just such an obnoxious slap bass line. Just everything is gaudy and
can't wait.
But here's the deal. I listened to this music while playing Mario Kart, and my side argument for today is like this is the perfect music for Mario Kart is city pop. Just
how is that any more or less insulting than anything I could say about any of this music?
I had a great time. I'm playing as Funky Kong. I'm riding a motorcycle through a shopping mall. I'm banging some tots here. It was all right. And I'll share that with you now.
Okay. Here's a song that pairs nicely.
Yeah.
With Donkey Kong 64.
I appreciate the honesty.
It is quite honest.
That's cool. Yeah.
All right, here we go. Someday from the album Ride on Time, 1980, Yamashita Tatsura. Here we go.
I like this better than the other song already. Wait.
Just tearing through Toad's Turnpike. Doing flips. Drifting.
I like that bass line.
That's good.
There's the man of the hour. You like this one, Thin Lear?
I like the bass line a lot.
You don't like his lovely vocals? He's so talented.
You know, it's all right. It's fine. He's doing his thing.
Yeah, Greg's in the groove. So pretty okay. consistent sound so far.
Yeah, you draw a straight line between those songs. A husband and wife duo, certainly.
You like that one more or less than the other one, Greg?
Oh, I like it more, yeah. It's just the bass line is fun. It's a little bit like listening to Trouble Funk or something. Mm. I thought this was maybe a little go-go from the 80s. So I was liking on it. I wanted some tom-toms.
There's probably something like that comes in later.
Pretty cool.
All right, so I think you both have a pretty good idea at this point what city pop, you know, can generally sound like.
Yes.
Here's where it starts to fall apart a little bit. I have my next city pop, so-called city pop artist queued up here. Her name is Minako Yoshida, and she wrote the lyrics for many Yamashita Tatsura songs. So it's getting very incestuous here. Like they're all the same sorts of musicians meeting in the same places, but it's all these different projects. You know, Hosono is certainly in the mix.
Really? Hosono's playing on city pop stuff?
He refused to do the slap bass. So
hell yeah, he's the man. Oh, my God, is he the man.
Yeah, he backed out of that shit.
He's the best.
He is.
I didn't know that.
Hideo
Miho. Every time I hear any story about him or another song of his, I'm just like, this guy is just incredible.
Yeah, he's a regular on the show, Greg.
I really think you'd like his work, Greg. I think you'd love
What's this guy's name?
Hideo Miho.
Spelled the normal way?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Write that down. Awesome.
So we're going to listen to a song that Hosono Hideo Miho wrote for Minako Yoshida. Now, you following all this?
Sort of.
And this is supposedly a city pop artist, but this is going to be a very different sound. I think this is going to expose like the arbitrary nature of the term.
Okay.
Like, if this is city pop, what the fuck is city pop kind of thing? This is from a little bit earlier. This is from 1976, from the album Flapper.
Okay.
The song is called Ramu wa Osuki, translates to Do You Like Rum? Like right. I said, so the artist is Minako Yoshida, but it's a Hosono song. He's playing bass, naturally. I think you're going to like this a lot more than the first two, but we'll see.
I like that album cover. I like so much more than the last two songs we listened to.
Yeah, right?
How is this city pop, though?
That's what I'm fucking saying. It's a made-up term that people are just throwing around for anybody who happened to be recording in Tokyo in this time period, who wasn't like a solo singer-songwriter or something.
Like the Andrews Sisters. It's a little.
Yeah. Is that Andrews Sisters 5?
Yeah.
There's like kind of a Dr. John Meters organ thing happening in the background.
Yeah, the brass now.
Yeah, this is for me. This song is for me.
Yeah, this stuff rocks. Yeah. You'd love this album.
I'm feeling kind of Liza Minnelli.
Cabaret.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great.
So what is city pop? It's just you're talking about a group of people in Tokyo over a certain period of time. You're not like, you got from Plastic Love to this. Like, what's the through line otherwise?
But that's not a thing that's going to, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but that's not blowing up on Instagram and TikTok or whatever, in that wave of people romanticizing the 80s in Japan. Like, that, it just doesn't sound like the 80s in Japan or what someone would imagine on social media for that.
Right. It's a whole different vibe. It's a different era. Yeah. A lot of this like YouTube Plastic Love contingent is like people who, you know, you start getting into vaporwave, future funk and all that 10 tricks point never type of thing, which totally different vibe. I was holding off answering this question for so long, and then I realized, well, fuck it, there's no right way to answer it anyway. I'll just share some tunes that I like, some more than others. Thin Lear, you might not dig this one as much, but
Okay. Going
with this through line some more, another artist in the mix who I've played previously on this podcast, Eiichi Otaki, who is in the band Happy End with Hideo Miho Sono. He is a producer who has collaborated a ton with Yamashita Tatsuro, and he wrote a song for Minako Yoshida on the album we just heard. So he's got his hands in all sorts of pies, too. People are going to call him city pop. Well, I'm about to play a song from an album of his from 1984 that's supposedly city pop, and it's a totally different vibe from everything we've just heard. So it's just we're expanding the perimeter even more here. The song is called Peppermint Blue. It's from the album Each Time from 1984. It's an Eiichi Otaki original. Big Phil Spector, Beach Boy vibes here. Thought we'd close on that one.
All right, let's check it out.
I'm starting to get dizzy just spouting off all these different obscure terms. This is not a topic that invites too much group discussion. So apologies there.
I don't have much to say other than listening to the music and saying whether
the last was a guy who wrote the song for the woman who was singing, right?
But this is wrote a different produced that album and wrote other songs on the album. I don't know if he wrote that. No, Haruomi Hosono wrote the song that we just heard, who also was in a band with the guy we're just about to hear another song from.
Oh, okay.
It's all...
But not just a non-performing songwriter, but like a songwriter and band.
Exactly. Yeah.
I was thinking it was kind of like a Bacharach Warwick situation.
No, he had that capacity, but he also was a solo artist. He was like in a Beatles type of group. He did all sorts of stuff. Yeah.
Cool.
I should have like printed out a flow chart and just mailed one to each of you.
That's what we need.
Are you going to eventually tell us who's in the picture behind you? The woman whose nose out in front teeth?
I believe that was the first.
Plastic Love Lady. Yeah. Maria Takeuchi. Okay. Again, I'm going to put all these names and titles in the show notes later here, but.
And that flow chart. Yeah. As well.
Correct. Yeah, I'll get your mailing addresses later.
But just send us an actual snail mail. And can also with card catalog references would be helpful to me because I use card catalog. So
that'd be great. Yeah,
I'll put it down in my Palm Pilot.
Yeah, do that.
Saying that right? All right. So we got Peppermint Blue here, but again, just keep in mind. Supposedly, this is City Pop 2.
Not like Jeff Lynne, but you like this song.
I like some Jeff Lynne.
See, this though, I feel like is of the same piece of the first two songs we listened to. Like, I feel like that's in the same wheelhouse.
Because it has the same sheen.
Yeah, it's more Beach Boys-y, but yeah, I mean, it's similar instrumentation.
Got that Harry Nilsson quality. So you're a fan of that one, Greg?
No, I wasn't liking that one as much. It felt like a lateral move away from the last thing we just heard.
Yeah, I thought you were taking us in a stronger direction, and then you pulled us right back.
Both of you are lumping this in a little easier with the first couple tracks. So is it it all just comes down to the reverb? Like, what's the through line?
It's not just the reverb. It's the instrumentation. It's the aesthetic. It's the gloss. I mean, I think just because there's more interesting harmonies on this one doesn't make it different. The melody is more, I think, unique on that last one. I think that maybe that's what you like about that, Thomas.
So it's the gloss.
Yeah, there's a sheen. It's the instrumentation, it's the arrangements. You know, when you talk about country music and you're like, oh, this is the same chord changes as the da-da-da. Like,
is that what I do? Is that how I sound?
I think it's happening. That's exactly what you sound like. Like, that kind of thing where it's like, I don't think the changes are that different. I don't think the arrangements are that different. I feel like they're of a piece. I think those three songs. That's the third song you played us though. That one I love.
That's the Hosono
effect.
I would
not categorize as city pop. Yeah. I just anything he's attached to, I think I maybe just like.
All right. Interesting. What would be like the biggest Western counterparts to this stuff? Like Earth, Wind and Fire? Like what bands were coming to mind for you guys? I said Michael McDonald too, but
oh yeah. I mean Michael McDonald I think fits snugly into this.
I can hear where you mentioned the Beach Boys a little bit. Okay, unfortunately crosses one of my completely bigoted, prejudicial red lines.
Ooh.
But I think I already exposed to Finn when we were pre-talking, which is men singing with high voices.
Oh yeah, he doesn't like
you're
it.
Not a falsetto guy.
Yeah, I'm not. Oh no, I'm okay with yodeling.
Oh.
But But an occasional fall, but it was something about, it's a little bit in like, it's like inching towards, you know, Frankie Valli land. That always.
Oh yeah. You must hate the Four Seasons.
That always, but if it was women, I don't know what.
Sure.
It could be completely my own prejudice or something. Maybe I was, but I mean, it was a little bit weird. It's not terrible. It's just, I wanted to be able to imagine them performing. So when these people, when this guy performs and he sings, are there three guys behind them? Are they dressed up? Or I kind of like want to know.
It's too detached from the live experience in that sense.
Do they play guitars? Or this is, I'm a singer.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's.
Is that what it is?
Well, by this time, the guy wasn't really touring or performing so much. So it was a studio-based project. Yeah.
Like A19.
Man, if you don't like the men singing a high register, it's a really good thing I didn't play any of Yamashita Tatsuro's doo-wop acapella albums. It's
That's right.
Hours of that. Him doing his best Frankie Valli impression, yeah.
I'm also resentful. My wife really loves acapella. You know, like that Anakin movie.
Weird.
You know what I'm talking about? Where they and the whole barbershop quartet, and she went to Ivy League school. So I think deep down, I'm just pissed off about that.
It's like a classist thing.
It's a totally classist thing.
Yeah.
Well, in summation, maybe we can call it glossy pop.
Sure.
That's all I had. You guys indulge me long enough here. Greg, what have you been listening to this week?
Losing my opinion.
Firstly, that was education. I feel like I just learned something. I just texted my son because my son listened, like he's into manga. They're the same thing, aren't they? Pretty much the same thing.
Make Nippon great again.
Exactly. but so he's into like K-pop and he's into manga, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So I texted him. I'm waiting for him to text me back. I'm like, do you know what City Pop is?
Let us know what he says.
Yep. Let's see what he turned 16 at midnight. So we'll find out. Maybe that was part of his. So anyways, I thought that was pretty cool, man. Thank you. I liked a lot, especially like the one with the funky bass line. I like the first three maybe the most.
Yeah.
I guess this is what I guess when I sort of hit Matt with different ideas. This is what Finn. We talked about like I'm a big Americana freak, and I've become a huge fan in the last I don't know like 5 or 6 years. I mean, and so we were talking about how there's this sort of new generation of younger folks, meaning younger than me, which is like everybody, but like that are doing rootsy Americana music. It can be sort of country, it can be bluegrass, it can be blues derived, but they're wearing their nose rings and they're like putting, and I was trying to come up with a term for it all day yesterday. I was at three soccer games in the last 2 days going around and trying to come up with terms for this punkakana. I couldn't.
Punkakana.
The word punk. Yeah, that's as close as I got. But anyways, so somehow we got on to the people, and I'm digging these people. In fact, sometimes when I watch their music and then I learn to play it, like I'm like, oh, I'll figure this out. Sierra Farrell, and she's kind of blown up, but I do worship her and love her stuff. And I've gotten onto her recently. And then like these other sort of punk, this sort of young folky / country-y people. And so the ones that I'm going to mention are Sierra Farrell, Willie Carlisle, who I saw like 6 or maybe 9 months ago here in New York, Nick Shoulders, who does sometimes sing in a high voice because he does falsetto. So I guess I break my rule. And he also yodels, which just sends me. I think it's hysterical, but I like it. And he does it in key. And also, I mean, it kind of then gets you into Billy Strings a little bit. Who's of course very tatted up, and Alyssa Segura, who I only sort of ran into recently with "Hooray for the Riff Raff," but I kind of fell for that too. So I guess that's what. And so to me, it's like the modern primitives, and maybe it's just in looks. I mean, I don't know how different they are from the people who are doing this who aren't.
The look is like piercings and tattoos, but the sound is like traditional Americana.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah,
so.
Thomas, we've covered this. We haven't covered it yet, so I'm glad that Greg brought it in. We've kind of like danced around it in some of the country episodes or it came up a little bit. Like it's this aesthetic that you see on social media. It came about maybe in the last like 5 or so years, maybe a little bit longer, with channels like Gems on VHS and Western as Fuck, where like you'd have somebody with like a neck tattoo singing like a Jimmy Rogers cover, you know, or like a anthology of American folk music stuff. And it's just that combination of things seem to be really, really in vogue for a while. And then, yeah, someone like Sierra Farrell, I think, was like a real figurehead of that style. And I think she was on one of those channels, I think, that initially blew one of them up. So it's that, it's in my opinion, it's the aesthetic that, like, that's, it's the look that's the one thing. I don't think it comes into the music at all. I mean, when I hear those songs, it just sounds like, it sounds good, but it's, you know, old-timey music. I think it's more just packaged for a new audience.
So, yeah, new aesthetic, new fashion, but the sound, the song remains the same, in other words?
Same as it ever was, yeah.
All right.
Well, I guess, okay, yes, I totally agree. So there's a little modern primitive element to it. Maybe that's, you know, that's just who they are and they're younger. But, I mean, it's kind of like, firstly, a lot of them are serious talents. Like, I bumbled on some videos of her a while back where she was playing the saw, okay? And it was, you know, she was doing it. Like,
that would be really cool, like, to watch, yeah.
The theremin. Oh, yeah, it's on there someplace. She was a busker for a while. But, like, Nick Shoulders, proudly mulleted guy who dyes his hair and wears camo, and he's like, listen, this is just who I am. And like I said, he'll yodel, but also I think it's like they're great music. They're great. When I saw Carlisle, he switches up to fiddle, he switches up to banjo, he goes back and forth. So they have, and Billy Strings, obviously, some of them I think it's in the family. You know what I mean? Like Billy Strings, I think his dad was a guitarist, and so that's where he gets it. So they're sort of anchored in serious talent, but they really are into the shamelessly into the long ignored instruments and their styles. I'm reading from notes. Okay. So they'll do the Hank Williams, the Roy Acuff, and the Robert Johnson. They'll also write their original modern tunes. But here's what makes them different than, like, sort of like, you know, like rock and roll or whatever, indie rock, which is, I think they actually get along with their parents. Like, I'm tempted to believe they do.
Important distinction there.
Yeah, it's like,
but they just seem like more, what, wholesome or something?
Well, I mean, they can be singing about, you know, unwholesome things. I mean, like the Willie Carlisle's, you know, he's loving all genders and he's popping cocaine. He's doing cocaine. I said popping. He's doing cocaine, right? Mm. I'm saying, so he's singing about whatever is going on in his real life, like, you know, but he's doing it in the most sort of, I'm a folky, and like I said, he probably could do a Jimmy Rogers song style that feels, you know. And they're well researched, you know, like, you know, you don't know, they could be doing, who we were talking about, Karen Dalton or Connie Converse or whoever, like, they could be doing some obscure folky tune tomorrow. So I think it's kind of interesting. I mean, it's just also just what I dig. Now, there's definitely a whole group of these people who don't, like, there's a subset of them who don't try to be modern primitives and Pokey Lafarge.
Yeah, he does not. Yeah, he stays in that era. Like if you, he looks like if you look at some of the photographs, even, it's like, you know, indistinguishable from a 1930s picture.
Right. You know, Charlie Crockett, Colter Wall, who has this preternaturally deep voice. It's sort of like Leonard Cohen. You know, I mean, Gus Clark is another guy. And then you guys were talking about Sturgill Simpson a while back, who I like, but I have to say, like, in that realm, I think Hayes Carl is more interesting. But that's when you're starting to getting a little bit closer to pop country. And that's about as far as I'm not a pop country guy. So I guess that's what we've gotten into.
I will be honest and say I don't recognize any of the names you said except Jimmy Rogers.
Is not into anything in this vicinity of music. He's
you're
just
throwing
not
a lot of
it.
new names at me.
So that's maybe you might get him to like some of it, because, like, you know, with the aesthetic package, maybe he'll
We here today to just celebrate this movement of artists, whatever genre or description we may eventually be able to give to them?
Yes, I guess so. I guess because I think because everything else that I was going to talk about was probably mean. and Finn was like, let's do something celebratory.
That's
like,
me, okay. Captain Positivity.
Instead of having to run through a list of the people with high voices who I think shouldn't be allowed to sing.
I would love to do that episode next time, though. Okay. I would love to find some candidates for you to react to.
This being Jersey, we'd probably get a call from someone in Frankie Valli's family, and then I'd be like, live off the radar.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. You don't want to piss off that crew.
Or Geddy Lee's family or Axl Rose's family. Like, I'm
with you on Geddy Lee and Axl Rose.
Please stop singing. Just don't. Please don't do it. Anyway, sorry. They could have gotten into their cultures. That would have been, I would have been happier. Mm. You know, these people like their culture. So I'm okay with that because I've come to like mine. I don't know. What do you want me to say about it?
I'm ready to hear
it soon. This is a modern take on, like, anthology of American folk music stuff. And I think I love it. Like, I think that it's a cool movement that happened. I think it's maybe a little bit petered out now. I don't know. I see less of it, but, you know, it's just, hey, let's get younger people into these great old songs and have them latch onto it because someone with a septum piercing shows up on TikTok.
And how long have you been into this music, Greg? Like, what was your way in?
I used to hate country music, and that was, I used to be in a band years ago, I was in a number of bands a long way back. And then like recently, like maybe like 8 or 9 years ago, I slid into country through like Lucinda Williams and Steve Earle. And I was like, oh, I'm starting to like this.
A great way in.
Because it's a little alt-y, you know what I mean? And then I went from Steve Earle to his, oh, there's another guy kind of fits this, although he's dead, Justin Townes Earle.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And I slid in, I was like, oh, and then I don't have it up. I decided I wanted to learn Justin Townes Earle's guitar style because he slaps and thwacks it really hard, and I really enjoy that. And then you get, you know, the algorithm takes over and you fall.
And then you start getting this the forehead tats on a regular basis. Justin Townes Earle, I think, is a little bit detached from this movement or this aesthetic. I think he is more authentically this thing. I mean, I think that the reason maybe it's petering out a little bit is because then a lot of people started adopting this framework.
It's hard for me to know peter out from height to not, because there's no way when I'm, the truth of the matter is I'm only connected to this through Spotify and YouTube, right? And so you have no way of knowing whether you're like, oh, this is incredible. And it could be 20 years ago or it could be 5 years ago, and you don't really know.
No context.
Except that I've gone to see someone. I've gone to, you know, like, who have I gone to see? Well, I saw Carlisle. You can't see Sierra Farrell because she got... Do you guys have ever, you know, Americana has their own awards, kind of like the Grammys?
Yeah.
Right. She like won the best new artist like last year. I think Charlie Crockett won it this year, something like that. And so now you can't see her because she's freaking huge. And that was like years ago, you could have seen her in a fairly small club. But she's sort of, I think it's because I think they see her, I think that the Nashville people, from what I can tell, see her as the Dolly Parton that they want to sell.
Yeah, I think just like she could be the next big thing. I believe
that's
true.
She's got big hair in this thumbnail.
Yeah.
I will say that. So this tune.
See if you like this, Thomas.
This tune is called Hey Me, Hey Mama. It's live.
She didn't write this one. Yeah, this is
Ray LaMontagne.
Guy Montaigne. Yeah.
All right. This is from, this performance is from 2 years ago, 2022 here. Looks pretty recent. I'll give it a go.
Papa's in the kitchen, Mama's in the field. Put her in the hen house, but flung high up on the hill. Will the rooster in the dooryard, just leaning on. With the wind so sweetly blowing through the rapping corn. Hey me, hey mama, where you been? For so long, for so long. Hey me, hey mama, where you been? Tell me where you been for so long. Well, there's something outrageous about that evening sky. Just this side of dangerous, that look in your eye. Always knew you were crazy, always knew you could be cruel. Still, I would do just about anything in the world for you. Hey, me. Hey, mama. Where you been? For so long.
Her voice is exceptional. Like that, you know. In fact, you know, they know what they have, like the label and people working with her, like, yeah, let's put up a live track, you know, because it's just it's like water, you know. It's just such a pure vocal, and every time I see her doing something live, like, she's just always nailing it. Like, she's a real pro. It's like an old school pro that they can just, like, she can just show up, knock it out of the park, you know, move on. She's really, there's a reason I think she's the figurehead of that world.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, she's obviously very talented vocally, just is a very brushed off in a good way performance. Like, she's got it in her. Yeah, it was pleasant. I mean, I'm not, I wasn't taken aback, but you might have had a suspicion of that going in then.
I just assume you hate all of this, so it's like...
So she's like the cream of the crop for what we're talking about. Is she's at the top of the pyramid?
I think so.
I think, and I think so. Yes, I would have to say. I mean, unless you, in terms of, I guess, I assume other people are watching what I'm watching. I mean, I guess I am, because I do communicate with other humans when I leave this blue room. And I think that also it's some of the same people who are like into Molly Tuttle and stuff like that, if you know her,
sure.
are into that. And because you see them gigging, you see them showing up at each other's shows. Right. And I'd love to go to one of the and at the festivals and things. So it's her, it's Billy Strings and other people sort of all sort of jamming together. They've all got like 3 and 4 person bands where they tend to dress in sort of old timey looks. Usually there's a stand up bass player. Usually there's an all three. Well, in at least 2 of those people I just mentioned have a woman playing fiddle behind them when they play live. You know, and they go back and forth from traditional to their originals. To, you know, A Coat of Many Colors or something like that.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. And there's a through line between
try another
stuff.
One. Let's see. Let's see if we can seduce.
Let's hear that Willie Carlisle song. I think maybe Thomas might dig that.
I went to see his show at Skinny Dennis, by the way, and I hooted and hollered, and I think I scared the guy. And then when I introduced myself later, because this doesn't...
He's like, you're that guy?
Yeah, he was just like, I'm like, you really, you know, I was like, completely, like, I had not been out of the house for a long time, and I was just like, you changed my life. And he's like, get away, you know, so that was a good... I think, like, he and I have a great relationship.
Sure.
Right.
All right, so this one's called Van Life from the album Peculiar Missouri. I do like that title. This looks pretty... Yep, this is also 2022. I'm guessing this is about the nomadic lifestyle in
those of us who, yeah,
modern America.
That opening says Thomas packing.
Well, I quit my job making minimum wage, looked fairly well twice, and act half my age. I'm looking for somewhere that can handle the rage of a young man.
Wow, this is really throwback sound.
With rarely paid taxes and shitty insurance, a glove box full of summons and warrants, a finely tuned wish things were that weren't, you could say I was looking for fun. So I bought an 01 red Dodge Ram, bought 2 pints of whiskey and a 30 of hams. Now I'm peeing in bottles and eating from cans. But you can't call me homeless, friends, because I live in a van. They call it van life. I've been told this. It's a fine life. I've been sold this. It's a fine line between having to and choosing it. Let's roll up. Let's blow this.
I knew a key was in. I would just get a harmonica right now. Just
well,
start
7-Eleven, does your belly ache? I subsist on a mere wake and bake. Talladega to Chicago's lakes, or I'll take your largest case. So. And all the girls from Chickamauga to Passamaquoddy speak enviously of my van's rusted body. This old thing might just be a Bugatti, the way I get it from 60 to 0. Yeah, I'm 60 miles of Fargo on a northern track. I'm burning rubber, no looking back. Pushing that thing like a maniac. I get tipped out like a stripper. And singles and crack. Ooh, I wish someone would fund Amtrak.
I wish someone
instead
would fund
of the
Amtrak.
Van life, I've been told this. It's a fine line. I've been sold this. It's a fine line between having to and choosing it. Let's roll up. Let's blow this.
When I introduced myself, I mean, like, I really blew it. I was really... By the way, have y'all ever heard of John Moreland?
Yes.
He's the guy who sings at Tulsa, under the Tulsa. Anyways, he was much nicer when I introduced myself like that. He was literally living out of the back of the van, and he came here. He played here in Jersey. But anyways, so it's a life that some are living. Not me, thank God.
That was just nothing but enjoyable. You hear it, and you're like, you hear A Boy Named Sue. You hear the vibe that it comes from. But it's unabashedly wearing an influence on its sleeve, and it's really clever and funny. Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah, I think I did get more out of that than the last tune. I do wonder if it might be an issue of, like, you know, this guy is singing about very blue-collar, struggling situation. Like, that's his story, his message. Am I just too much of an elite?
And Thomas hates the working class.
When you see blue-collar people, Thomas, do you want to hug and kiss them? Or do you want him to be taken out of the room quickly? And then
Thomas is just like, he doesn't even want to be in the same
sanitized.
Room. If you have a callus on your hands, just do not come near this
guy. I'm over here listening to jazz and Paolo Conte, and I think I'm too much of an elite for this common people music. That might be the issue.
He might be
here.
Too elite for this.
Yeah. I thought you guys might not be elite because I was trying to get, because I was like, I was telling Finn
Lear
that I'm into Cyril Amé. He had not heard of Cyril Amé.
No.
She's about as cool as it gets. She's like, because that's when I'm trying to be smart, that's what I listen to. And I listen to Stefan Rembel. My wife is really into him.
Oh, I love, yeah.
I saw him here in Jersey. He was fantastic. He had, by the way, a sousaphone player in his band.
I think, like, I've seen him live too.
You don't see anybody go, and now for a sousa solo. That never
Isn't
happened.
Isn't that like what they blow at, like, soccer stadiums? What is that thing?
No, that's a Venezuela or whatever.
What's a sousaphone?
No, a sousaphone is like, it's named after John Philip Sousa. It's like a small tuba, I think. You can kind of put on your shoulders.
You see that in like New Orleans street bands maybe or something.
Right. I think Rembel did, he did an album for, well, he did one of Woody, well, he's done music for one of the Woody Allen movies. Mm.
I've seen him do a lot of Django Reinhardt stuff. I think actually that's where I saw him. He's doing like a Django Reinhardt show.
He's very Django-ish. So one thing I'll just tell you about Willie Carlisle is, So the songwriting can take you, some of these people, I'd say, takes them in a different direction. I see the same thing pretty much for Nick Shoulders, you know, and those guys perform together, I think, from time to time. All these people perform with each other at various times.
Now, Nick Shoulders, yeah, I think he's the one, you know, Sierra Farrell, I think I just saw initially and was like, oh, this person's great. Nick Shoulders was like, I saw it and was like, okay, this is a movement now. You know, it's like, that was what it sort of seemed like. Everyone was starting to do that thing, and he was, yeah, he was, again, another sort of figurehead of that scene. I think he came a little bit before the real wave of it. But this is, I think, Thomas, if you want to look at one individual where all of this is sort of wrapped up in a ball, I think you can look to Nick Shoulders. I think it's all here.
It's all resting on Nick Shoulders.
Nick Shoulders is Shoulders.
It's all resting on Nick's shoulders. That's exactly right.
Yeah, check this out.
This is, a Blondie cover, Heart of Glass, done by a guy with a mullet and a bunch of arm tats, like in somewhere out in the rural Ozarks. Okay, this is a story here.
This one's in the neighborhood of Jesus. It's out to my best friend Debbie, that is Debbie Harry, and it's a little tune we call Heart of Glass. Once I found the love and it was again.
Ooh, I like his voice. This I can get into.
And I'm feeling fine. Love is so confusing, there's no peace of mind. If I fear I'm losing you, it's just no good. You tease me like you do. Once I found love.
Yeah, I like that part.
Divine. Soon turned out I was losing my mind. Seemed like the real thing.
Yeah, he makes it sound like it could have come out of like the 40s.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
That's where it's kind of pokey Lafarge-ish to me, except he looks so different.
Yeah, that's a good distinction you made between pokey and, I think, Nick Shoulders, is it's like, yeah, Pokey like fully adopts the aesthetic. You know, he's like, there's no sort of modern detachment.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
I like the detachment. That was working for me. I like the style.
There you go. Yeah. He loved that context, that additional context.
I mean, all these people play with bands more normally. I just like to see them when they're just by themselves sometimes. So you can just kind of get them.
Yeah.
Soul. Oh, and I think that's how most come across it and most love it. Yeah, Greg. I don't think, I'm sure this is wildly popular on streaming as well, but like, I think this movement came about because of those YouTube channels that we were talking about, and because it makes for great content on social media.
I really liked this one, not in any small part to the yodeling. I realized I'm always down for yodeling. I was thinking of
Wild.
that motif from Raising Arizona.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good where one. When Nick Cage is, you know, running with the pantyhose on his face, like that sort of style. I'm a yodel fan. I think I'm learning that about myself. I think I want more yodeling. Does he do that a lot?
Yeah, he does it a lot. Yeah. And he does it where he's just yodeling when there's no words too, where he's just
perfect.
Full on. But I also think, and it's funny you mentioned the Coen Brothers movie, because I think the Coen Brothers are responsible for starting a lot of this.
That's a great argument.
You know what I mean? Because of well, like there was the Buster Scruggs and the Oh Brother and who's the female singer whose name I forget who they got people into who's really a country voice. I can't remember. So yeah, I think they're part of it. They kind of gone 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, I'm all about that. I also, because he's doing a cover of a song that, you know, it's not an Americana classic. It doesn't have any place you would assume in like Appalachia, you know, the Southeast. It's a Blondie cover, but he's taking that kind of song and then he's changing the energy of it. And I was enjoying that too.
So we're just showing that I'm an ethnomusicologist of sorts.
Oh, both of you today. Yeah. I mean, just two different angles.
in very different ways.
I feel like we did actually learn a lot today. I learned, I guess, more about the definition of city pop. I did not know much about that before. But, you know, I also kind of learned that maybe I was right, the preconceptions I had about what that sound was.
The second you started rattling off your impressions of it or your guess, I was like, no, he's got it. That's all you need to know. Okay. Yeah. Greg, what did you learn?
I also learned about city pop, and I learned that now my wife has a friend, God, what's her name, who lives in Japan. She's visited here. She lived here for a couple of years, so now I can bring it up.
Yeah,
great.
So it's useful too. I can be like, bring up, and I mean, I'm gonna have to phonetically get into the names that you presented, but
sure.
But I could go back over this and listen to that. I can bring it up and totally just impress the crap out of her.
If nothing else, you got that from today's episode. That's a good thing.
Is it possible? Can I just ask you a quick? Is it possible? To what degree does city pop influence? I guess nobody in America at that time was caring about Japanese music, so it's all them being influenced by us.
Pretty much. Like just the language barrier. There was not much of an effort made to get hits that were popular in Japan over to. I mean, the last time that really happened was Ue Muite Aruko, which they turned into the sukiyaki song in America. Like that's the last time you really saw a big like pop crossover from Japan to America.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I'm into it.
Well, yeah, I learned I want to hear more Nick Shoulders. I want to hear some more yodeling in this whole punk Americana aesthetic going on. I did not know anything about that. And
there you go.
It's a big world out there.
Sure is.
Particularly informative episode this week, I would say.
It was. Education.
I'm here to help.
That's what we're all about.
Guys, this comes out March 27th. Does anybody have anything they want to give a shout out to?
Yes.
What do you got?
April 1st, new Thin Lear single, Overnighter, is coming out through Metropolitan Groove Merchants. It'll be everywhere, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube. We got a lyric video to accompany it. So please check that out. I think you might dig it.
Love it.
Hey, wait, Greg, did you have anything to plug?
I'm not going to plug. I'm just going to be, the next year, I'm just going to be me and my Garrett in here, Brian Wilson-like, just writing silly songs.
All right.
All I'm doing.
Hunkering down.
That sounds.
And if you like this week's episode of the podcast, listener, you can go ahead and subscribe so you never miss a future episode. You can follow Losing My Opinion on Instagram, TikTok. Is that still going to be around by the time this comes out? Maybe. and X. All at Losing My Opinion. And City Pop. You know, I don't think it's... I know what you mean when you say the word. I know it's an aesthetic word, but I don't think it's really a helpful musical term. I could be wrong now, but I don't think so.
Was that just a Randy Newman
one? Yeah.
I thought you were going to go in a city pop direction. I can't picture Randy Newman and city pop together. They seem pretty aesthetically...
Pretty separate, yeah.
Far apart. Greg, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
You guys are awesome, Niagara and Finn.
We got to have you back.
I'm loving on it.
There was a very special story you were going to tell today, but we got to have you back to do that at some point because I, I really want our listeners to hear
we'll
that.
We'll save that one, yeah.
And I'll say, so long, suckers. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.